As we begin another week of NBA basketball, it is the New Orleans Hornets with the longest active winning streak around the league. That would be 8 games. Adam Azer, Greg Urbano here on the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. Greg, you ready to talk some New Orleans hoops?
Absolutely.
All right, we've got a beat writer with us, John Reed of the New Orleans Times Picayune, joining us. And John, the Hornets are red hot. All right, Friday, a great weekend for them. Friday, they hold the Atlanta Hawks to the lowest point total in franchise history. It was 100-59. The next night, a double-digit win. In fact, a 24-point win over the Spurs, the best team in basketball. So let me ask you, how seriously should we be taking the New Orleans Hornets right now?
Well, I think you should be taking them very serious at this point, because I think I don't think you can consider a fluke when they're defending the way they are. And you know, we all know how good San Antonio is and the way that they really, really dominated them in that third quarter. I can't recall a San Antonio team being held to 10 points in a quarter, and that's what the Hornets did. Outscored them 31-10 in that third quarter and just broke the game open. And I think that this team is – I mean, they played great defense all year. They had a bad December, but even in those games, they played pretty good defense. But I think if you only yielding 91 points a game right – past the halfway mark of the season, I think that's legit there. I don't think that's a fluke.
Well, they are number one in the league in points allowed, number one in defense, but 26th in points scored. Is there enough offense on the team?
I think there's enough offense among the starting five. I don't think there's a lot of offense among the bench. And when they're getting the scoring off the bench, it's not consistent. I mean, you got a kid like Marcus Thornton who can come in games and provide instant offense, but I think he's still struggling to be a consistent player, particularly as a consistent scorer against different type of defenses. And like you addressed that question, that's the number one issue with this team right now is what can they get as far as bench production as far as scoring is concerned. And I wouldn't be shocked if they go on a little tailspin, that they would probably look before that trade deadline to possibly add a score.
Now, John, is there talk right now inside the franchise about the long-term goals of keeping Chris Paul a Hornet?
That hasn't really been discussed a lot since they met with him in July. And, he's got another year before that contract expires. And I say this about Chris. I know I've been covering Chris since he became a Hornet. All he's concerned about is winning. I have no idea what's behind, you know, that will he go about his summer, upcoming this summer, whether we have a lockout or not, as he did last summer. But I can tell you honestly that he is pleased in the fact that I think this is definitely a better roster than what they had last year. But going to the playoffs, even winning a first-round series, is not going to cut it for Chris. I mean, Chris' intentions, just like it is for Carmelo, just like it is for LeBron, those guys want to win a championship. And I do not say that this team at this point right now is championship ready, championship caliber, that is. But I think they're putting the parts in place. And I think so far he's been pleased with Dale Demps and his coach, Monty Williams. But not going to sit here in this interview with you guys and say, oh, he's happy, he's not on demand to trade. We have no idea what his intentions are after this season at all, and nobody else does either.
Well, we are going to put you on the spot for one thing, because one of the favorite arguments that we like to have on this show is who is the best point guard in the NBA, and I don't want to turn you against my partner, Greg Urbano, here, but I'm usually the Chris Paul guy, and sometimes he's the Deron Williams guy. He even likes Rajon Rondo a little bit, but in your opinion, who's the best point guard in basketball?
I think that's the hardest question you just asked me here. And, you know, Derrick Rose is getting a lot of votes, too.
Yep, sure.
I have to say that Deron, I think he's the best point guard in the league. I think every time he plays Chris, it's a hard matchup. I think that on both ends of the floor, I rate him, Derrick Rose, and Chris right up there. But in my own, and this is my own opinion, I think that right now, today, based on everything. I think Darren is a little bit above all of guys, including Chris.
Wow. Well, that is that's good stuff, John. Thank you. That's very gutsy for you to go out and say that. So we appreciate you say that on our show.
Absolutely.
No problem. I mean, you got to be honest when you ask me that type of question, and I think, you know, but the long run in that question is how these guys are going to fare for the whole duration of their career. I mean, you know, I mean, Chris and Williams came in at the same time, and they're not that far apart.
John, thank you very much for your time. It's John Reed of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. We appreciate it, man, and hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
So I was going to let him settle the whole Chris Paul, Darren Williams debate, but I can't
You're
anymore.
Not happy
because,
with the answer.
Yeah, I thought I'd get Chris Paul out of him.
Yeah. I obviously, like he said, having talked to Chris Paul personally the way he has, to see what Chris Paul's opinion is, I think helped, you know, obviously shape his. And like he said, I mean, there's such a close dynamic between all of these guys, and they're all great point guards. So one week to the next, it could be Darren Williams, and then it could be Derrick Rose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we like to sort of give the landscape of the NBA every week, and the hot topic, of course, is the Hornets. They're playing so well right now, but there are other things to talk about. I want to start out with Kobe Bryant and his criticism of the Denver fans, and he just being honest, saying, you're stupid for booing Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Well, just push him out the door, I guess, is what you're kind of doing with the boos. I don't understand. Already they believe, I guess, he's gone. You know, based on the comments he's made, does it seem like he wants to end up in New York? Does it seem like he wants to end up in Brooklyn? Certainly. But he's still on your team. And for the nights that he's given all he can for the Denver Nuggets to win, cheer the guy. You know, let it be known that you are still a great place to play. And at least give him, in the back of his mind, a reason to want to continue.
I don't agree. I think that they should be booing him. I think that he has made too many public comments about wanting to play in New York. I think it's been disrespectful. And we talked about it at the beginning of the season, that it was going to be a distraction for Denver. I don't blame them for booing him.
Well, he's just answering these questions honestly. When they ask
then
him,
don't answer.
Would
you
like
say
to play
no
in
comment.
New York?
No comment. It's not
That's
that
tough.
Hard.
What good is an interview when a guy just says no comment the whole time? So he's, you know, he's sitting down with these interviews.
You don't have to be.
You're
not obligated to be a good interview.
That is true. That is true. We know that from enough athletes for sure.
So as we look at the standings in the East, Boston won, Miami 2.5 games back, then it's Chicago, Orlando, Atlanta, which has had an interesting week despite getting blown out by the Hornets at home. They've actually been playing great ball, 8-2 in their last 10. New York is 6, Philadelphia 7, Charlotte 8. And there is a huge separation after the top 5 seeds. New York at the 6th seed is 6 games behind Atlanta. In the Western Conference, San Antonio still out in front of the Lakers by 5.5 games. Oklahoma City and Dallas have the same record at the 3 and the 4 spot. And then New Orleans, with that 8-game winning streak, they are 29-16. Currently, they're the 5 seed, followed by Utah, who we have to talk about. And then the 7-8 seeds are Denver and Portland. I want to talk about the Utah Jazz, and then we'll get to the Blazers and a few other teams. But the Jazz have lost 4 straight. Those 4 games at Washington, at New Jersey, at Boston, at Philadelphia. So these are teams other than Boston. You expect them to win these games.
Absolutely.
All of them by at least 7 points. Yep. They're not losing close games, and they're slumping.
Well, we know the Utah Jazz aren't that great at home. This has been something in recent seasons that we've seen. When they travel, they struggle. And right now, you know, trying to figure things out in the locker room, they've had a lot of difficulty. And Darren Williams has said in recent interviews, you know, do I need to be that guy who pounds his chest and really calls out for the team to step up? And they don't really feel like right now is the time to do that. They all know they're struggling. They can see what's going on the court. And rather than, you know, call a players only meeting or something like that, they just want to see and work through it. Again, on the road, you're going to see Utah struggle. So when they get back home and they get a few games where they get W's underneath their belt, they'll see that the team that we know we are, that's who we still are.
Yeah, but if they want to be something else, they're going to have to start winning on the road. And, you know, they were 12-6 on the road going into that 4-game swing. Yeah. Their next 2 games, by the way, are against the Lakers and the Spurs. So you could
be
looking at
a
not going to be good,
fun.
Greg.
Not at all.
Could be a 6-game losing streak. But don't panic. This happens.
About what Darren Williams was saying is that we don't hit the panic button right now by doing those drastic measures and calling these meetings. Let's just ride out the storm and then bounce back and realize again. And he even talked about knowing his role on the team, which is surprising for Darren Williams to say, I don't really know right now what my role is. So when that works itself out, you'll see them bounce back.
So if the playoffs started today, it would be San Antonio and Portland in the 1-8 matchup out west. And Portland's playing very well right now. They have won 5 straight games. And a game that really stood out to me was the Thursday night game on TNT, because watching LaMarcus Aldridge go up against Blake Griffin, who's, you know, the rage right now, I thought Aldridge played a great game, and I think he's not an MVP candidate, but I really think he needs to be an all-star, even if it comes at the expense of Blake Griffin, because in my opinion, despite what the numbers might say, I think Aldridge is still a better player than Blake Griffin, and he proved it on Thursday night, and he showed that Griffin still has a lot to work
he
on.
He proved it in one game, a home game. I don't see how the one game would say it would make me think that Aldridge is a better player. If you look at the years...
it exposed Griffin a little bit defensively.
Well, he's a rookie.
That's what it was.
We know.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Defensively, he could not contain LaMarcus Aldridge. Yeah. Okay. It was a huge disadvantage, and the Blazers were able to run their offense through their big man, and Aldridge has been great this year, Greg.
He has been. There's no discounting how great Aldridge has been, but for me, Blake Griffin's a little bit better. So when we are talking about All-Star game, and in particular All-Star games, really it's for the fans. Who do the fans want to see?
I don't buy that.
Do the fans want to see LaMarcus Aldridge, or do they want to see Blake Griffin? I don't think there's any question.
Let's take that out of the equation.
Why? But go ahead.
Because I want to choose an All-Star team that features the best players, not just the ones that the fans want to see.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see.
But there's not a big enough gap between these two guys for me to say LaMarcus has to go to the game. And the X factor is Blake Griffin's dunks, his highlights, and all the things that really fans have just flocked to.
Fans.
Yes. The game is for the fans. The All-Star game is not for the players.
Bobby, let me ask you this.
We know that.
Right now, the Blazers are in the eighth spot, and in fact, they have a nice cushion. They are 3.5 games ahead of Memphis and Phoenix. If you swap LaMarcus Aldridge for Blake Griffin, are they still in the playoffs?
Good question. I'm not sure. Like you said, the defensive part is huge for them. They don't really have, you know, obviously they've been hurt at the center position for the most part, but LaMarcus Aldridge has stepped up his shot blocking, so he does add that element that they need. I don't know. To be honest, I wouldn't say they're going to be 5 or 10 games worse. They're going to be close.
Okay.
So,
that's the point I make about Aldridge, is that he really fits in well with them. And the reason why Griffin's numbers are so much better than Aldridge's is that the Blazers play one of the slowest paces in the NBA. You have to consider that when you're looking at his numbers. So his production will be better on almost every other team. But we can move on. I want to talk about the Knicks, because the Knicks have lost 6 in a row, and Raymond Felton and Wilson Chandler have been horrible. But when you look at where the Knicks are in the standings, Greg, they're in the 6th seed. They're 6 games back of Atlanta, but still 4 games ahead of Philadelphia. So it looks like no matter what they do, as long as they don't completely collapse, they look like they're kind of a lock for the 6th seed right now.
Yeah, they'll be there. You know, what I'd like to look at this is the D'Antoni effect. I think when you change a D'Antoni team for the first few months of the season, it's a question mark as to the offense and how they're going to really run things. Defenses now have zoned in on Amari Stoudemire, tried to take him out of the game, as you see, under 20 points. And these are things that really, for the most part, opponents will see. If we take Amari out of the game, we force Raymond Felton to shoot, and we force other guys to knock down outside jumpers, it's a completely different ballgame. And that's what's happened in recent weeks, and that's probably why they're struggling right
now. You're absolutely right. Felton just can't hit anything, and Chandler, like I said, he's been bad too. And Stoudemire, 2 straight games under 20 points when he had been scoring 20 points at will. The Knicks are struggling right now, but not as badly as the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are horrible. Yeah. They have lost 16 straight games, and the longest losing streak ever in one season is 23 games. So, I mean, do you want to just tank and go down in history?
Well, again, there's no LeBron James sitting
there. At
least
people pay attention to you, right?
This is true. Now, you know, and you think about, well, maybe they want the first pick, something like that. There's really no LeBron James out there, unfortunately. There's some very good players that are coming up. But if they do end up with the worst record, with the first pick, it's just going to be that whole cycle all over again. And unfortunately, I don't really see a light at the end of the tunnel for what's going on there in Cleveland.
So, the next 8 games, they would have to lose 8 games in a row to set the record for the longest in-season losing streak in basketball history. Here are the next 8 games, starting tonight, Monday, at New Jersey. What do you think?
That's a game they could win.
They got to win it.
They probably won't.
I'll tell you why. Because the next
game, New Jersey's been playing some pretty good basketball lately.
Yeah, that's true. At Boston, versus Denver, at Orlando, at Miami, versus the Pacers, at Memphis, and versus Portland. There's 2 games in there that I give them a shot.
Pacers.
Nets and the Pacers.
Yeah.
Better win tonight, Cleveland, or it's going to get
ugly.
Luck. Fourth quarter of the Magic-Raptors game. It's just something in the box scores that kind of stood out. This is on Friday night. Orlando outscored Toronto 39-15.
This is something that Orlando does from time to time. They will just completely obliterate a team, and whether it's a specific quarter or specific half, when they're knocking down the three-point shot and they offensively get on a roll, their defense gets even better. They lock down. Obviously, we know Dwight Howard's always there in the middle of the paint, but when other guys are hitting shots, the entire team picks up the defensive energy.
39-15.
Yeah, and just dominant performances.
Instead of praising
not
the Magic,
surprised.
Let's just rip the Raptors for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to rip them because if you look at the two teams, the Magic
no,
are
it's
clearly,
not hard. 39-15.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's really bad. All right, so I have a few questions for you before we get into our power rankings.
Let's get to it.
So first question, will this be the week that the Wizards win a road game? They are 0-20 on the road at New York on Monday, at Oklahoma City on Friday, at Memphis on Saturday. What do you think?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. No, I don't see them winning either of those games. As you mentioned, the Knicks have struggled lately. They get back home. They're going to play a good game. They're certainly not going to go in and beat the Thunder, and the Grizzlies are playing very good basketball as of late and at home. I don't see them winning either of those three
games. I got a feeling about this Knicks game.
Really?
I think the Knicks will win.
Of the three, that's the most possible, the most likely.
Certainly.
For sure.
Is there a worse GM in basketball than Joe Dumars? And I bring this up because the Pistons were trying so desperately to finally make something right and get rid of Richard Hamilton's contract, but they couldn't do it. And now they're stuck with so many bad contracts. Look at what they did with Ben Gordon. They paid Ben Gordon five years, $55 million. Charlie Villanueva, 5 years and $40 million. Is he the worst?
Not the wisest decision. Since he won the award for best GM the year that he really brought that conglomeration of the Wallaces and Tayshaun Prince and everyone together,
yep,
it's been a struggle for Joe Dumars. You know, and I think, you know, he definitely got, like I said, he got that the impact immediately with those guys, and he got a sense of he is a great GM. I think people just believed he was a great GM based on what he did.
Sure.
But now you have to look at what he's done recently, and as you said, there's more than enough big contracts thrown out to guys who simply don't deserve them. He made one good decision in the offseason to bring in Tracy McGrady, who has panned out for them. Other than that, no, since the championship, you can't really say anything positive about the decisions that he's made and the people that he's brought in.
And it just goes to show you that Isaiah Thomas really isn't a very good teammate here, because those guys are supposed to be boys. And when Isaiah was in the league, Joe Dumars wasn't the worst GM.
Yes. So,
but he needs to come back and take the heat off of Joe Dumars.
Yeah, that's probably the only way he wouldn't be right now, because as you said, just the recent trends not looking good. And they probably at some point should look at making a move at the GM position, but who knows?
It is always a good time to take a shot at Isaiah Thomas. Now, I asked you this last question. Do you know which team, I was a little surprised to see this, which team forces the most turnovers per game in basketball?
I cheated, and I already looked. So I would not have known this. Not at all. I would not have known this.
The answer is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yep. Surprising. You know, obviously at the guard position and then at the small forward with Rudy Gay, you have very athletic 1, 2, and 3s on that team. So they're getting into passing lanes. And they're just, you know, whether it's the trap that they'll utilize from time to time, obviously they're doing things right on the defensive end and making those things happen.
We're going to start with my power rankings because I think I did a better job than you last week.
If you believe that to be true, let's get to
it. After that, we're going to look at the MVP race and update that. But starting out with the power rankings, and of course I have the San Antonio Spurs on top, despite losing big at New Orleans on Saturday. I ask, is Tony Parker the most underrated player in basketball? How many point guards do you name before you even think about Tony Parker?
That's very true.
And the guy's shooting 52%. So I have the Spurs at 37-7, number one. The Lakers are just moving up. They are playing so well, 32-13 on the year. They beat the Nuggets on Friday, and what you would see from the Nuggets players and coaches after the game, talking about the size of the Lakers, George Karl said, quote, every one of their big guys had a big game. So I think the size is finally starting to be a huge factor for them. Kobe Bryant shooting 49% in January. So I got the Spurs 1, the Lakers 2, I have the Heat 3. We got to talk about Mike Miller. I'll let you talk about him when you do your power rankings.
Absolutely.
Celtics are 4 for me. They host the Heat on February 13th. I'm very excited to see that because they've already beaten the Heat twice, but it wasn't this Miami Heat team. Can't wait to see these two teams. I hope they're both at full strength. That game's coming up soon. And then I have Orlando at number 5, and they've won 3 straight. They're at Chicago on Friday night. For me, that's going to be the game that determines whether or not the Bulls can make their way into the top 5 of the power rankings. You also have to look at the Hornets and the Thunder right now. But you know, I still like Orlando as that number 5 team. I just want to see them get a little bit more production from Gilbert Arenas to figure out if they can get that backup point guard spot settled. But anyway, I go Spurs, Lakers, Heat, Celtics, Magic.
Right.
And you, sir?
We do have the same 5 teams. We have the same at the top, same at the bottom here. San Antonio at 1, clearly until they hit their little mini losing streak that we expect them to hit. Right now they have to stay up there. They're just outpacing everyone else in the league. At number 2, though, I have the Boston Celtics. Just that loss at Washington, tough loss. Obviously the offense just kind of went to sleep there in the second half.
Yeah, I watched that game, and they just couldn't. They were missing open shots. Yeah. It was just a weird game. Washington was pretty fortunate.
Tough night for them. I'm not going to drop them for that loss. Clearly, again, we're still waiting on Kendrick Perkins to be back to see what this team really will be for the duration of the season. At number 3, the Los Angeles Lakers, as you mentioned, had a little bump in the road. They've corrected that. Kobe playing great basketball. Number 4, the Miami Heat, as you mentioned, Mike Miller really had the first chance to truly shine and have the spotlight on him. He was not only in the game, but he was in the game without any of the other big three there in Miami, so he was able to show what he can do offensively. You know, 15 points in the games leading up to that one game, and then to have 22 in the third quarter, a franchise record, just obviously a great performance for Mike Miller, something he can really build on, because that's what I think he needed, a game like this to build on and to gain that confidence moving forward.
Yeah, he hit 6 3-pointers in that game, 32 and 10, and one thing we don't mention about him is his rebounding. Yep. He's a good rebounder.
No doubt about that.
Go on.
And then finishing up the Orlando Magic, as we mentioned, we know what they are, especially now that they made that trade. They went back to being who they were a season or two ago. And, you know, Hedo Turkoglu obviously playing great basketball. And we know what Dwight Howard is. And I think that'll lead us into the MVP talk.
Yeah, so give us a recap.
Spurs, Celtics, Lakers at 3, Heat at 4, and the Orlando Magic.
So just tell me real quick, why do you have the Celtics over the Lakers?
At this time, I still think they're a more dangerous team because I kind of know, again, what's waiting in the wings there with Kendrick Perkins. And at the same time, when you look at both teams, they have the complete roster of what you want. I think outside of L.A., not having the point guard position really at the point that they would probably like it. But looking at what Boston has, they are so tough from top to bottom. I do think right now they are the second-best team in the league.
Okay, I actually like Boston's bench better, to further your point.
Well, I mean, Nate Robinson's played very good basketball for them this
year. Big Baby off the bench. I mean, when they're fully healthy and they have Shaq maybe coming off the bench if Perkins starts, and then Baby, I like the Celtics bench better than the Lakers. Okay, so let's look at the MVP race now. And Greg and I are definitely going to agree on the number one guy. It might get a little bit more interesting after that, but I'll let you start. Or you know what, I'll start here. Derrick Rose, number one, 24.7 points per game, 8 assists, 4.7 rebounds for Rose. I don't even know what else to say. You could read his numbers, but it just comes up with really clutch shots. Yep. He is such a big part of that offense, and he's just playing at a ridiculous level. Yep.
No, Number two. You've mentioned, obviously, with Derrick Rose, so he's picked it up when guys have been hurt, and they've been hurt all year.
Number two for me is actually Kobe Bryant. As I mentioned, he's shooting 49% in January. In this month, in January, 5.75 assists per game. That's up from 4.13 in December. And then there was a game on January 12th, 115-110, the Lakers beat the Warriors. And I couldn't stop watching it. It was Kobe versus Monte Ellis. They just absolutely went at it. It was vintage Kobe. And I'm kind of a Kobe hater, usually.
Yes,
but he's having a really good month. Starting to put together a really, really good year. He's been a huge reason why the Lakers have turned it
around. Maybe that little jab Phil Jackson took at him when he talked about screwing up the game, just maybe refocus him a little bit. Because you've seen games.
Crank it up.
We've seen games where he does take over offensively, but then we've seen games, like you said, his average of assists has risen since that talk.
Sure. Rose, Bryant, Nowitzki number three. And the only reason why I have Dirk Nowitzki number three is because they struggled so much without him. They were 2-7 without him, but he's actually playing kind of poorly right now. He hit the game-winning shot against the Nets on Saturday night, or maybe it was Friday night, but he just isn't playing that well. He's missing some big shots. He did not look good against the Chicago Bulls. I think he's still trying to get back into rhythm, but I do have Dirk 3. Dwight Howard 4. What's amazing to me about Dwight Howard is that he's now surrounded by bad defensive players all over the place, and yet the Magic are still 7th in the league in points allowed per game. And number 5 was tough. I thought about Chris Paul. I thought about Rajon Rondo. I eventually went with Kevin Durant. I just look at that team, and it's two guys doing pretty much all the scoring. Durant's been struggling with his shot a little bit lately. He's kind of cold, but he hit that game-winning three-pointer on Saturday night against the Knicks. And, he's Kevin Durant.
Very
so
clutch. Who else takes a fadeaway three-pointer when the game's tied at the buzzer?
I mean, wasn't a great look.
The coach certainly is like, no, yes, when it goes in, which, you know, obviously there are maybe two guys in the league that can take a shot like that and hit it, Kevin Durant being one of them. So why not?
So, again, for me, it was Rose, Bryant, Nowitzki, Howard, and Kevin Durant. Urbano.
Moving on. As you already mentioned, Derrick Rose, for both of us, is that guy right now. Makes everyone around him better. The athleticism at the point guard position is unlike anything we've ever seen, really, in this league. So, really, the things he's done, as we mentioned, when guys are out, to keep them playing at the type of level we expect from the Chicago Bulls, certainly done just a terrific job all season. Dirk Nowitzki, as you mentioned, really, when he was gone, I think we appreciated him even more. You know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the MVP. We both had Dirk at or near the top. So, seeing the way that they performed, as you said, 2-7 when he was out, and they looked dreadful in the games that he was out. So,
but they're only 2-3 since he's back.
Yeah,
that's
as
why
you mentioned,
I bumped him
still,
down from 2-3.
Yeah, he's still rounding into form. And again, that Caron Butler injury still is showing up on almost any given night because defenses are allowed to kind of just creep a little more towards Dirk and keep that second set of eyes on him. For me at number 3, it's Dwight Howard. I believe you had Dwight at 4.
I did.
You know, again, Dwight, you cannot undervalue or underestimate just how good he is on the defensive side of the ball, rebounding, and then he's had some really big nights recently scoring as well. When he stays out of foul trouble, he is as good, or really has as big of an impact as anyone in the entire league.
Yeah.
So for number four for me, also Kobe Bryant, as we mentioned, the things that, you know, we kind of expected from the Lakers this season as a veteran team. We knew they would hit a lull, and then Kobe made sure that they got right back on track. So he would be my number four. And at number five, as you mentioned, you know, a debate between a guy like Kevin Durant, Chris Paul. For me right now, it's Chris Paul. Recently, he's been just fantastic. He, to me, has shown again that he's back to form. He's back to being 100%, has that first step speed as he did back when he was young in the league. And really, for the most part, that team without him would just be absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, and he does lead the league in steals.
Yep.
And that's a big reason why they're one of the best defensive teams in basketball.
No,
I just wanted to give one more stat about Dwight Howard, who's fourth for me, third for Urbano. He leads the league. I don't know if this is a good thing or not, but he leads the league by a large margin in free throws attempted. Takes 11.6 free throws per game. Dwayne Wade is number two, 9.2 free throws per game. So yeah, he might miss a lot, but he's also getting guys in foul trouble.
Absolutely.
That's one thing Dwight Howard does very well. And now another MVP that we have to talk about. We have an MVP of karaoke.
Oh, my goodness.
From right here.
Oh, my goodness.
This is Greg Urbano.
Addicted to love.
Wow. You guys really pulled this.
Yeah,
you guys
didn't
really
even know about
this video.
It.
I appreciate that.
You are listening or watching to Greg Urbano at Office Karaoke sing Addicted to Love.
Addicted to Love, Robert Palmer.
Oh, you
look at
it.
The high note.
You nailed the note.
I appreciate that from our production team. Very nice of you guys. Thanks a lot. Yeah, last week we had a little karaoke. I figured why not show the skills that I have singing, which clearly might get me a record deal. I've been contacted twice, so we'll see.
Completely sober karaoke, too. And also, I should note that I went up there to sing the song with him, but he was doing such a good job that I just said, you know what, go ahead.
Disappeared. I turned around, looked for my wingman, nowhere to be found. So that was nice of you. Appreciate that. But
it was better than
thank you all
Palmer,
for the applause.
So
yes.
good work. Now we got to get to your emails. CBSI podcast feedback at CBS.com. CBSI podcast feedback at CBS.com. Send them along. And our first one comes from Eric in Boston. Eric asks, what is the biggest disappointment of the 2010-2011 season so far? What do you think?
That's tough. I know what you're going to mention, and I kind of looked at what are the teams this year? What are the players doing that this year? And actually, Utah to me has been that one team right now in particular that's very much struggling. I thought Utah would actually be a 2 or 3 seed. I was expecting this year to be a very good year, adding Al Jefferson. Obviously, you lose Carlos Boozer, but to me, Paul Millsap, obviously you can plug him in and get very much, you know, the similar output that you got out of Carlos Boozer. So to me, the Utah Jazz, as of right now, and really in recent weeks, this has really popped out to, okay, there's a problem here. Something needs to be fixed.
For me, it's Milwaukee. Milwaukee is horrible. They're not even in the playoffs right now. They're 16-25. They have the same record as Indiana. They're barely better than Detroit. Milwaukee was a team that some people thought could even challenge the Bulls. Not us.
Yeah.
But, you know, Milwaukee,
last
year, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I know they've been a little injured, but I also just don't like their roster makeup.
Yeah.
And they have
Andrew
17
Bogut,
small forwards.
Andrew Bogut's been healthy. I mean, I thought the struggle they might have this season is if Andrew Bogut could not come back at 100%, but he's leading the league in shot blocks. Clearly he feels healthy, but like you said, there's just something missing there.
And then the last question we have from Mario in San Francisco. This is an interesting one. Can you make the case that the East is finally better than the West?
Wow.
Well, you can make the case based on the top. The answer is no, because the teams at the bottom are so
bad. The depth is just not in that conference.
You know, for example, Charlotte is 17-25, and they're the 8th seed right now. Well, the Clippers are 17-26, and they are the
5th team out.
14th seed right now.
Yeah.
So let me make sure that 9, 10, 11, 12, the 13, excuse me.
That's tough.
So they would be 13th in the West, whereas they'd be a half game out of the playoffs in the East. So, yeah, I mean, you can't.
Certainly, you know, and if we look at the top two or three teams, it's very, very close. You know, San Antonio, L.A., Oklahoma City, or Dallas, wherever you pick there, Boston, Miami, Chicago. Yes, at the top, they are very, very much competitive. But like you said, the depth after 4 or 5, absolutely atrocious in the Eastern Conference.
You have to call it after five, because we
yeah,
have to give
five.
A lot of credit to Atlanta. They're 29-16, which is the same exact record as the number 5 seed in the West, which is New Orleans.
Yep.
So, yeah, I still think the West is better from top to bottom. But
deeper, definitely
from
deeper.
In the first five. You can line up that first five in the East with the first five in the West, absolutely. And that wasn't really always the case, because if you looked at Atlanta, for example, getting, you know, a 4 or a 5 seed or something like that, and they weren't as good as the 4 or the 5 seed in the West in previous years, but, you know, they're playing very well right now. Any final thoughts?
No, good week of basketball. We got some games.
Wait, I have a final thought. What happened to George Mirosan? We were going to get him trending on Twitter.
I tried. Was contacted by his Twitter representative. So we're still hoping if George does get back in contact with us, or his reps get back in contact with us, we would love to have George on the show.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of walls you have to break down in order to get to George Mirosan.
This is true.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Even though you can see him above all those walls.
In the clouds. Absolutely.
It's Greg Urbano. I'm Adam Azer. Our producer's Matt Brodsky. Thanks a lot, everybody. I want to thank John Reed from the New Orleans Times. Picayune, which is not the way I would have pronounced that.
New Orleans.
But that is how you pronounce it in New Orleans.
That's right.
And thank you all. We'll speak to you next Monday.